Hello, I'm Joe Mellis, and welcome to episode 59 of Pittodrie PS, the predominantly Dons-based podcast, featuring not just the Dons first team, but a look across the age groups and genders at the club. And we focus on the respective progress of Cove and Peterhead too, as well as the North East local representatives in the Highland League and juniors, and not just football, but any sport making headlines in the North East of Scotland, or featuring someone from the North East of Scotland. Joining me for this journey, as always, Dave McDermott and Andrew Shiney. So here we are, recording this episode on the morning of Tuesday, November 29th, 2022, without a Dons League or Cup game to review because of the World Cup break, but there's plenty more to turn our attention to, and like last week, let's begin with the Dons women. Now, to put this in context, their last game was a 4-1 away defeat to Motherwell, but immediately prior to that, in front of a Pittodrie crowd, they managed to chalk up what could prove to be a vital win against Glasgow Women at Pittodrie. Now, on Sunday, they lined up against Dundee United and managed to secure another victory, this time a 2-1 win against Dundee United. And all of a sudden, things were starting to look a little brighter for them again. That was until Monday afternoon when co-managers Emma Hunter and Gavin Beath resigned from their posts. Seems an enormously strange time to do that, Dave, just when it looked like perhaps the tide was turning.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously, I think, more than meets the eye to this. I mean, for instance, Emma posted on Facebook, I messaged her last night just to, you know, offer my commiserations, but she posted this morning, just about an hour ago, on Facebook. She's been overwhelmed by all the messages of support. I am forever grateful for it. It was my extended family. We will forever be one team, which doesn't sound the kind of message that someone who's willingly resigned is going to post. You know, as you say, the timing couldn't be more off, to be honest.
Well, it's an odd one. Yeah, I mean,
First away win of the season at Clamadice as well. And, very strange.
Yeah. So what now, Dave? Any names in the frame for this one?
I haven't a clue, to be perfectly honest. I mean, I'm sure there'll be lots of applications for the job, whether it's a co-managership or... originally, it was Harley Hamdani and Emma, and then Harley emigrated to Australia, and then Emma was on her own for a while, and then Gavin was recruited from Dundee United, ironically. Who knows? But it's a shame, to be honest.
Andrew?
I'm as much in the dark as Dave is in terms of this one. It came as a bit of a bolt from the blue after the high of Sunday, where Bailey Hutchison's double, the second goal coming in stoppage time, I believe, secured the victory against Dundee United at Tannadice. And you just felt maybe, you know, the tide was turning a little bit for the women's team. But this has been a real hammer blow. And judging by the reaction, you know, it kind of smells a wee bit funny, doesn't it? That, you know, when you've hit a high for the season, all of a sudden your management team offers their resignations. We don't know the ins and outs of it, and I'm not going to speculate on what may be going on in behind the scenes, but very unfortunate. But I think we've got to record our thanks to Emma Hunter in particular, because she has done a phenomenal job in charge of the team. And, you know, success came last season with promotion. It was always going to be a difficult year this year because you're up against a lot of teams who are fully professional and who have got massive budgets. I don't know what the budget for Aberdeen would be, but it won't be anything like some of the, you know, Hearts, Hibs, never mind Celtic, Rangers and Glasgow City. So I think Emma did a phenomenal job there and is due the heartfelt thanks of everyone involved with Aberdeen Football Club at whatever level. And we just wish her every success in the future, wherever that takes her, because not only did she do a great job with the women's team, but she did sterling work for the community trust as well. So I really hope that this is not the end of Emma Hunter's connection with Aberdeen Football Club in any way, shape or form. But until we know exactly what happened, I don't think it's our place to be speculating at this moment, rather than just say how disappointed we are that this has happened and wish both Gavin and in particular Emma every success going forward.
Absolutely. Now, next to the under-18s who played in the Scottish Youth Cup on Friday at Cormac Park, where they faced Queen's Park. Now, when we previewed this one, Andrew, I mentioned the way they've been going. They may well have, you know, cup aspirations, a cup in their sights this season, and they certainly have fancied their chances of progressing from this round going into that match. Shows how much I know, but then I've never professed to be an expert. That's where you guys come in. The final score...
The final score
in this one was 3-2. It certainly doesn't reflect the one-way traffic we considered it might be, does it?
It certainly wasn't one-way traffic out at Cormac Park on Friday. It was a thoroughly enjoyable game. Two very good sides. Aberdeen not at their best, it has to be said, but dug out the victory, which is the most important thing in any cup tie. But I was very impressed by Queen's Park. They're a good side. They play good football. They've got a number of very good players. Going into this one, you're looking at Queen's Park as a whole. Very ambitious, very driven, looking to really progress up through the ranks in the senior game, which they have done. They're in the championship and going well, but they've got big plans, obviously, redeveloping Lesser Hamden and, you know, looking to become the third force in Glasgow football. I mean, regardless of how much money you can pump into Queen's Park, they will never, ever usurp Celtic and Rangers as being the top two.
Or Partick Thistle.
Well, but Partick Thistle, I'm sure, are looking at Queen's Park, Dave, and thinking, hey, they are trying to nick our tag of being the third force in Glasgow football. And when you've got Willie Hawkey's money behind you, you've got a chance of doing that. But I was interested to see whether this ambition percolated all the way down the different levels. And judging by that under 18 side, yes, it does. I think they are looking to pick up players that maybe are still on the radar of Celtic and Rangers at that level, but saying to them, look, we can offer you a more identifiable pathway to a first team career than Celtic and Rangers can do. Because you look at the big two, how many players actually come up through the ranks?
Well, you know, it's interesting, though, because what you've just said, I imagine, throughout the years has been Aberdeen's pitch to up-and-coming players.
Yeah, it's totally that. So I was interested to see what their side was like. I was speaking to Barry Robson before the game, and I said, what are you expecting? He says, to be perfectly honest, I don't know. He says, we've got very little video footage of Queen's Park. And he said, it's not that good, so that I can't tell what their formation is. He says, I think it's going to be a hard game. Mm. And that's the way it turned out. I mean, Aberdeen took the lead through, guess who? Alfie Bavage. And then Queen's Park fought back to lead 2-1 at halftime. And you thought, this is going to be a really tough game for Aberdeen. They've got to get themselves back into it. Bavage equalised, immediately had the chance to notch yet another hat-trick when the Dons were awarded a penalty, but he blazed it over the top. But then 5 minutes later, an equally sought-after and highly rated striker, young Lewis Pirrie, notched the winner, his first Youth Cup goal. And that saw the Dons through with it. Not without a few frights between then and the end of the game, it has to be said. But they got themselves through, which is important. And Bavage, another two goals. He keeps his phenomenal run going.
Takes his tally to 941 for the season, yeah.
It's not quite that many. 21 in 11 games still isn't bad.
It's not bad, is it?
Yeah. Barry did say at the end of it, that is the only good thing I can take from this game is that we won it. Mm. He said, we didn't pass it as well as we should do. We weren't as competitive as we should be. And he will have told the players that. So if there was any sort of complacency in their minds before that game, then they now know that regardless of your opposition, you've got to treat them as being the very best that you're going to face all season. But they got through. I think there were maybe one or two mitigating factors. Seven of the team had been away in Atlanta, and there was a lot of travelling involved in that trip. And I don't think they'd maybe had the preparation time that Barry might have liked to have had before the game. But as we say, they're through. That's the important thing. And now they've got to return to league business this Friday out at Cormac Park when Rangers visit. So that's going to be a massive game again. Another marker on the way as to us seeing how good this Aberdeen side either is or can be. I think it'll be a very tough game out at Cormac Park, but last season against far more experienced opposition in Rangers teams, the Dons came up short, but competed very well all the way through just about all the games. So I'm interested to see how this one's going to pan out. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be there because Jack and Victor's musical tours hit the road once again as Dave and I head south to watch Lindisfarne. So, it won't be a first party report that you will get on the game next week. I'll have to rely on speaking to Mal Panton and the reports coming from Pataudry.
You know, Kenny doesn't get this at Sports Sound, does he? You know, they don't phone up and say, I'm sorry, I can't go to the game. We're away to see Lindisfarne today. Kennedy Nitzan's no phoning in from Lindisfarne, is he?
No, he's usually wherever Andy Murray is, isn't he?
Well, it wasn't last night. I don't know if you saw this on the TV night. Yes. On Reporting Scotland, when Rangers announced Michael Beale, he was standing there outside in the car park, what it looked like, and a Rangers fan sort of came bouncing up with his shirt over his head going, Michael Beale, Michael Beale, Michael Beale. And Kennedine was not programmed to respond, I have to tell you. Too used to being at Wimbledon rather than the Ibrox car park. Now, just going back to the Queen's Park for a moment, I wonder if, you know, looking at that side, you said that we're impressive, Andrew. I wonder if this would give you any sort of indication as to the money that's pumped into the team. If there were players who had possibly, you know, appeared on Barry's radar as a result that we might want to go and investigate, would they be able to be enticed away from the likes of Queen's Park financially?
Who knows, to be perfectly honest. I'm not privy to how much or how little Queen's Park pay their players. There were a couple of impressive performers in their side. And there's guys who are featuring in Scotland squads who are playing for Queen's Park. So I think the future is looking rosy for the Spiders.
Cove Rangers next, a break from the Championship for the third round of the Scottish Cup. We thought this one against Dunipace should be fairly straightforward for Cove, Dave, and so it proved. 7-0 in the end. And it'll have done Cove the world of good just to rattle a few goals in, won't it?
Yeah, it'll have done their confidence no end of good. Well done to Jerry McDonough, getting four goals, which is fantastic. He scored the two in the first half that settled any nerves that there were in the second half. I think the superior fitness obviously told and they rattled in the goals. But no, they've done great confidence and have been rewarded with another home tie in the next round, which is excellent.
Who have they been drawn to play, Dave?
Air United.
Ah, right, okay.
Which is going to be a hard one, of course, very much at the other end of the Championship from where Cove are at the moment. But there's not that many points between them in real terms, so it should be an excellent game.
Yeah, fingers crossed. How do you think they'll feel about that? Just like a free hit, or will they hope to progress? I mean, obviously they hope to progress at home, but will they expect to progress at home?
I think they will, to be honest. Being at home, I think they will expect to get the better of Air, but it's going to be very, very difficult. Air, the on their day, Air are very as good as anybody in the Championship.
Cove's next match on Saturday back in Championship action against Partick Thistle at Balmoral, for the time being the third club in Glasgow. They'll back themselves at that one as well, won't they, Dave?
Yeah, they will. You know, they got a fighting 2-2 share down at Firhill earlier in the season, and being at home, they will. I mean, they fancy their chances against anybody at Balmoral, and Saturday won't be any different. And it should be a good crowd there as well, with Don still not in action, so looking forward to seeing how they own that one.
Peter Head next, still managerless as we started recording this week. They won't want to waste too long in their search, but at the same time, they'll have to undertake their due diligence and try and get it right. Because
They're announcing at 11 o'clock this morning.
Why are they? So yeah, what, 35 minutes from now?
Yeah, I think it's going to be David Robertson.
Yeah, I think it's going to be David Robertson as well. I was speaking to Tom Ritchie out at Cormac Park on Friday, and that's the feeling in the dressing room at Balmoral that it's going to be David Robertson.
See, when I ask you before we start recording, has anyone got anything that they want to throw in? that would have been it. All right, so David Robertson, the incoming boss, is not going to have long at all before results become an absolute do-or-die necessity. Saturday, they had the chance to forget about their league position for a week with what we deem to be a free hit in the third round of the Scottish Cup at home to Queen's Park. Regrettably, the free hit turned out to be all one way and not in their favour. They went down 3-0. Davy Nicholls was in charge for that one, Andrew. Time is not forgiving. Peter Head straight back into what could be an absolutely crucial chance to grab 3 points in a match against a team two places above them in the league, and one that they have to be desperate to claw back into the mix in the form of Kelty Hearts.
Yeah, and I think that's possibly why they're wanting to make that announcement today, so that they can get the new manager bounce in as quickly as possible before the preparations really ramp up for this game against Kelty Hearts. So the Queen's Park game, I said to Tom, you know, as looking at it as a free hit, you know, just a change from the almost drudgery of league games. And he says, to be honest, yes. I saw a couple of the goals from that game, two Dom Thomas free kicks, which I don't think looking back on them, Tom will be overly pleased with his showing at them. One, he was beaten from about 35 yards. It was a decent hit. The second one, beaten in his near post. But hey, Thibaut Courtois managed to get beaten in his near post by two free kicks. One was disallowed by VAR. The other one went in. Even the best goalie in the world can lose a free kick like that. But yeah, Peterhead, they really need to get something going because, as you say, it's now, it's do or die. If they don't get their fingers out and get some sort of momentum going forward rather than backwards, which has been all the momentum in recent weeks, they're really going to get cast adrift. We've seen Clyde change their manager. Jim Duffy's come in, albeit he hasn't managed to turn better performances into victories.
But they are getting draws now.
But they're getting points on the board. That's the important thing, yes. Peterhead really need to get that started before the turn of the year because, see, if they're still and maybe further behind Clyde come the turn of the year, it's going to be an almighty difficult task to save themselves from being relegated.
If it is David Robertson, of course, his son Mason was a Peterhead player not that long ago, so he'll be able to give him quite a lot of information about some of the players, certainly at Peterhead.
Absolutely.
And I wouldn't be surprised if we see him back at
starting at the first team. Now to the Highland League sides, where it was a mix of Scottish Cup third round action as well as league duty for those already eliminated from Cup competition. Those third round results first then. For Martin United, 1, Stenhousemuir, 3. Fraserburgh, 0, Arbroath, 2, and Wick Academy, 0, Falkirk, 6. And here endeth the Highland League's interest in the Scottish Cup for another campaign. The league matches from the weekend, which ended like this: Broda Rangers, 4, Clachnacuddin, 2, Bucky Thistle, 2, Lossiemouth, 1, Devon Vale, 7, Strathspey Thistle, 0, Forest Mechanics, 3, Nairn County, 4. That sounds like a cracker of a game. Huntly, 0. Banks of Dee, 2. Inverurie Locos, 1. Rothes, 1. And Keith, 2. Tariff United, 1. So Bucky Thistle now top on goal difference from Brechin, but having played two games more. Brora, 3rd on 37. Fraserburgh, 4th on 33 points. In the juniors, Dave.
Well, the one game that was cancelled at the weekend was, not unexpectedly, Dice against Bridgeron Thistle on Friday evening. It was cancelled on Thursday, although the ground staff did and other volunteers did a wonderful job clearing all the water off the pitch. It was still far, far too soft to have a chance of being played. Rest of the card went ahead. Some surprises in Saturday's games in the Premier League. Dufftown recorded their first win of the season, defeating Bankery St Tiernan 3-1 to move level on points with Saints. East End 1, Stonywood Parkville 3. That was East End's first defeat at home all season. Ellen United 4, Mod 1. Montrose Rosalie 1, Hermes 1. That means that Hermes' lead at the top is cut to just 1 point because it was Stonehaven 0, Cooter 2, and Nairn St Ninian 1, Colony Park 1. In the Championship, Buckingham Arts 2, Cruden Bay 2, Birkhead Thistle 1, Forest Thistle 1, Glentanner 0, Isle of Ale 2, Longside 0, Devonside 0, Lossiemouth United 1, Newmarket United 6, New Elgin 0, Aberdeen Uni 6, Rothie Rovers 3, Bankside Dee 3. That was a cracker of a game in Rothie Norman. And then leader Sunnybank lost 2-3 at home to Fraserburgh United, who joined them on points at the top. Big attraction this weekend is the fourth round of Scottish Junior Cup with East End, the North East only representatives, away to Larkhall Thistle. In a game being played at a ground that seems to have come out of Oor Willie or the Bruins Gasworks Park. So it's on Saturday afternoon. And then the second round, and I kid you not, this is what the title says on the website: the North Region Junior FA Regional Cup, sponsored by Domino's Pizza. Second round. So I think we've beaten our record. Two lines at each. So we've got tied there: Aberdeen Uni against Banks of Dee, Colony Park against Bridgeton Thistle, Cooter against Fraserburgh United, Montrose Rosalie home to Dice, Newmarket United against Dufftown, Rothie Rovers against Isle of Ale, Sunnybank versus Hermes, and three games in the Premier League: Bankery at home to Stonehaven, Nairn St Ninian versus Maud, and Stonywood Parkville against Ellen United.
Imagine that coming in at halftime in one of those fixtures. All right, lads, have a slice of ham and pineapple or a pepperoni. Never mind oranges this week. It's Domino's all round. Now, I was going to come on to the World Cup in a second, but we may as well go back to the third round of the Scottish Cup, because as you were talking about the juniors there, I was thinking about Darvel and Aberdeen. Where do you think that's going to be played? It cannot be played at their park, surely.
I don't think so. I mean, I first and foremost, last night when the draw came in, I had to go onto Google to find out exactly where Nearshire Darvel is.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking Rugby Park would be the obvious place to...
Yeah, Dumbarton.
Yeah, there is.
I would have thought Somerset Park might be an option.
I think Somerset Park will be the place that they'll try and play it, because Recreation Park in Darvel... Don't be fooled by, I think, is it Google Maps? I've got a picture of it. It has been upgraded since then. But somebody obviously doctored their Wikipedia page last night. They were claiming to have 220,000 seats and a 222,000-seater capacity stadium. It holds about 2,000, but I don't think the police would allow Darvel to play in their home ground.
And I think Darvel would want to maximise the money.
Absolutely. I mean, because they'll know that Aberdeen will take a big travelling support with them. There was 1,000 travel down to Annan. Now, that was different because it was a senior ground, so you weren't going to get a change of venue for that. But I do think there will be a change of venue for this game. It's Aberdeen's first game against non-league opposition in the Scottish Cup since 1971. When they beat Elgin City 5-0 when Elgin were still in the Highland League.
I'm just going to mention that, John. Andrew just getting ahead of me there.
You're going to tell me when Aberdeen last played junior opposition in the Scottish Cup, Dave, aren't you?
No, I didn't think you would.
But just looking at Darvel, they lost Arbroath last season after beating Keith Stranraer and Brechin City. This season so far, they've scored 23 goals in their four games. They beat Haddington, Tynecastle, Dalbeattie Star and Montrose. Montrose, they beat 5-2 at Lincs Park on Saturday there. Craig Brown was along to watch his grandson, his namesake, who got Montrose's second goal. So I'm quite sure Jim Goodwin will be tapping into
Craig. He'll be fully briefed.
Well, you would think so. I mean, regardless of the fact that Craig probably wasn't really taking full cognizance of a game like he would have done if he'd specifically been going to scout an opposition, he will have seen enough there that he'll be able to pass on really good info to Jim Goodwin, who I'm quite sure will watch Darvel in a junior game. They play Irvine Meadow away from home on Friday night. So there's every chance that there'll be an Aberdeen representation along at that game to watch them. They've got some senior experience in the ranks. Darrell Meggett, ex of Ayr. Ian McShane, Dave, you'll remember him at Ross County.
Ross County. Yeah. Mirren, I think you've played.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Jordan Kirkpatrick, ex St Mirren and Scotland under-19s. Ross Caldwell, who was at Hibs. So I don't think they'll be pushovers, but, you know, they're 5-6 ranks beneath Aberdeen in the Scottish football pyramid. Mm. So they're currently top of the West of Scotland League, 19 points from 9 games, but Aberdeen should get through that one comfortably enough. I do think it will be Somerset Park in Ayr where it'll get played rather than Recreation Park in Darvel.
I'll be happy when we're sort of 3 or 4 goals to the good in that game. Aside from that, these are the games that give me the squeak, not the so-called big ones.
I know, because it's a huge potential banana skin, and I have a sneaking suspicion that it could well be on TV as well.
Well, I would think it'd be a stick-on. You'll have Hearts and Hibs as one of the games, and you'll get that as the other game.
And then you'll get Celtic and Rangers. St Johnstone and Rangers and Celtic Morton via play will cover that, I'm sure, as well. Mm. But for the romance of the cup, as they call it, as you say, squeaky bum time for us. but Darvel against Aberdeen stands out. Big game. But it was funny, I was just thinking last night, I switched from watching Portugal and Uruguay in this state-of-the-art stadium in Qatar to across to Somerset Park in here that hasn't changed in the last 60 years. And then you're looking at a junior ground later on to see if there's any possibility of Aberdeen playing there. So there's football for you.
Yeah, and speaking of the World Cup, now I thought it was being played in Qatar, but some of the results coming in, I think it's been played in an alternative universe. There have been quite a few shocks. What have you thought of the World Cup so far, Dave?
I've really enjoyed it. I mean, there's been the usual games that you can instantly forget and not worth the even mentioning in 90 minutes of your life that you won't get back, but say,
or 120 more accurately.
Yeah. Exactly. But it's similar to being an Aberdeen follower, of course. Yesterday, Ghana against South Korea, I thought was a great game. And how many times have we been annoyed when, like, Colm or one of his compatriots has blown for full time when a corner has been awarded? It is really frustrating, although I do think that the Korean, the Portuguese lad to the Korean manager did take things a wee bit too extreme.
The thing is, I mean, there's nothing in the laws of football that says that you should allow a corner to be taken beyond full time. Yeah. A penalty kick, yes, but nothing else. Hey, think what it would have been like had it been like Clive Thomas did. Was it 1978? When the corner is in mid-air and he blows his whistle and then the boy heads it in. Don't go over because I blew when it was in mid-air.
Yeah, well done, Dave, I thought, on steering that word from cronies round to compatriots. I thought that was particularly skilled.
That's my good pal, Willie, you're talking about.
On the World Cup itself, Andrew, your thoughts?
I've enjoyed some of the games. I've been very interested to see how badly VAR has been used.
I know, it's interesting, isn't it?
And I think the communication to the spectators has been absolutely abysmal, because I would assume that the broadcasters are getting the same, or the broadcasters should actually be getting slightly more than the spectators are getting, and they're totally in the dark. But there's been some good performances. The outstanding individual performance I've seen, I think, was from Lothermuir's Harry Souter, who I thought was absolutely phenomenal against Tunisia. His challenge right at the death of that game was out of this world. It's unfortunate, obviously, that he opted to go with his mother's native country rather than his dad's, because his brother John, of course, has played for Scotland, but he opted to go with Australia. And obviously there was a number of players with Scottish connections, be it clubs or, in Jackson Irvine's case, an Aberdonian father. I don't think Australia will go any further, but it's been good to see some of the lesser lights, you know, shining bright in the competition.
I found Canada really entertaining to watch at times.
Yes, absolutely.
And, I mean, even Cameroon, I was watching Cameroon yesterday. I can't remember who they were playing, but it's sort of, Cameroon have this brand of football that it seems to be hanging by a thread, and then all of a sudden they're two goals up. You know, it's exciting, it's breathtaking to watch, and that's what a World Cup should be. Who do you think, going forward, as we get down to the sort of business end of the World Cup, who do you see as potential winners?
Well, I'm going for Brazil. I went for Brazil pre-tournament, and nothing's I've seen has changed my mind.
To be perfectly honest, I think Brazil's bench could win, because they've got incredible strength and depth there. I mean, when they make changes, they strengthen their side. And I think because they're so good technically, each and every one of them, that if you're left out, you go in there going, I'm going to show the manager that I should be starting. So that the performance level actually rises considerably when they bring players off the bench. So I think it's going to be extremely difficult to stop them. The French, they've looked okay at times, but I'm not 100% taken with them. Argentina, still far too reliant on Messi, but the guy's a genius. For a long period in that game during the week, it looked as though he wasn't really that interested, and all of a sudden, up he pops, bang, goal. But for me, the best goal of the tournament so far came last night, Casemiro's goal for Brazil.
Oh,
what a wonderful
what a hit
that was.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, it nicked the guy, the defender, but that technique to smash a ball as well as that from almost hip height when it comes at you as quickly as it did, phenomenal.
No, agreed.
I've enjoyed it so far, but let's see how it goes once it gets into the knockout stages. I hope that sides will really go at each other, because that's been the games where you've really enjoyed it. When players have tried to be overly tactical, it can get a little bit bogged down. But take the handbrake off and just let everybody go, and we could be in for some great entertainment.
Could be quite interesting, couldn't it? Now, golf, Andrew, this is possibly the the leanest link to the northeast of Scotland that we've ever featured on this show, but please go ahead.
Well, it's nepotism. It's not a link to northeast of Scotland. It's your cousin or your fourth cousin or second, Lynn Grant. But huge congratulations to Lynn Grant. It's been a stellar season for her. She sealed the European Order of Merit on the Ladies European Tour at the weekend, and also won the Rookie of the Year as well. And, you know, the highlight, I'm sure, for her, as it must be for really everyone in women's golf, was her winning that mixed event in Sweden by 9 shots, which was astonishing.
Second place was Henrik Stenson, just to drive that one home, yeah.
Exactly. So, no, she's had a fantastic season, and it's great for your family, John.
Absolutely.
Sure they've all been celebrating it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's probably... You've probably been on the phone to Sweden or getting in touch with Sweden. Do you know me? I'm your cousin. I do a podcast and we mention you.
Yeah, to be fair, her dad hasn't been sighted in a few days now, from what I understand. But yeah, that's what we're getting back to. Is the highlight of her season has obviously been getting a mention on Pitodry PS.
Yeah.
And that is pretty much it for episode 59 of Pitodry PS. We aim to publish every week on a Tuesday if we can, always looking back to the Dawn's previous fixtures and ahead to the next, where there are some. Please remember to follow us on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you could rate and review us, tell us what you think of the show as well. We'd be very grateful. Thanks for checking out Pitodry PS. We'll see you next time.